good to see you all. If you come in the week, you'll just find me. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, whether you're going to be disappointed or not. But I'm quite happy to make you a coffee if that's what you want. And I can't guarantee the quality of that either. So this week is one of those quiet weeks at church. Please be here tomorrow if you're available, just to say our final goodbyes to Joan. We'll be trying to bring some hope and comfort into that situation. Well, we've sung a couple of songs today that I want you just to bear in mind as I talk this morning. There is a light that shines in the darkness. I want to talk a little bit about where we are as a world today, because it can seem like a dark place. So just bear in mind, there is a light that shines in the darkness. So it doesn't matter how dark it gets, Jesus is always shining. And then something that Jed has alluded to, your grace still amazes me. What an amazing gift we have from God. And sometimes we fail to be amazed by it. So let's allow the Holy Spirit just to rekindle something in our hearts about the grace that God gives to us. That's the grace for salvation. But the grace he gives us is much more than just salvation. It's giving us everything we need for life and godliness. It's his grace that gives us what we need. So grace is a bigger thing than just our salvation. God is a God of grace who is continually giving, not because we deserve it, but because we don't. That's why it's a grace gift. So just bear those things in mind as I'm talking this morning. And my sort of opening statement is, what's going on in the world? What's happening? Does anybody know? Because the world seems to be in a pretty dire situation. We can only think back a few years or even a generation when there seemed to be some continuity, some sense of everything's okay, everything's going well, everything is at peace, and we know what's going to be happening. But there seems to be an explosion over recent years as we don't know what's going on. There seems to be more discontent in the world than there ever has been before. Technology has transformed most areas of life, and there's microchips in everything. Did you know there's microchips in everything nearly? Technology is just amazing. I love technology. Some of it I don't understand and some of it I can't use. But it's just amazing what we can create as a human species, as human beings. We are very creative. And do you know, I can switch my heating on and off from anywhere in the world. Isn't that wonderful? So if I get a phone call going, it's cold, I can just switch the heating on from anywhere. And there are many things we can do that with. You can even see who's coming to your door, can't you now? Anywhere in the world, you can see who's ringing on your doorbell. You can't do much about it if it's a burglar, but at least you know who it is. You've got a photograph of them. But technology is amazing. Communication is incredible and easily accessible. The internet has opened up the universe at the press of a button. Something that 30 years ago would never even have been a concept. I love Star Trek. And I used to love when they used to talk to one another all over the place, just with the flick of a switch, and we can do that now, can't we? On our phone, we can even video calling. Technology's just opened up a whole new world to us. But somehow, it all seems out of control. What is meant for good is actually often used for bad. And we can't control that. And there seems nothing that we can do to make a difference. And it seems like we're living in a broken world. I don't want to over-comment on everything. I don't want everybody to feel miserable about where we're at, because there's some good stuff that's going on in the world. But just for this moment, I want us just to consider the light in this dark place. Because it's important that through all the stuff that's going on, we maintain our understanding of who Jesus is and how he transforms the way that we are. So politically, in the UK, does anybody know what's happening? What a mess. And it's almost like there's no common sense in it all. There is no direction in it all. There is discontentment and chaos. Financially, all over the world, there is unequal distribution of wealth. Some countries are in wealth, some countries are starving. Some countries have all the medical help they need and some have none. And it just seems totally out of balance. We're told that the earth is dying, that we are killing our earth. Climate warming, destruction of the forests, animals are becoming extinct, the mismanagement of waste. It seems like we can't stop it, but we know it's happening. Health. I suppose our mental health has been highlighted over the last 3 years, but it seems that it has become the number one illness that people get, is mental health, physical health. If you ever go to hospital, you're never there on your own. Have you noticed that? If you ever have an appointment at the hospital, I sometimes go, oh, there'll only be me there. And you walk into the room and there's hundreds of people. Health is high on our priority of importance for a good life. But physically, many people are unwell. Emotional health, relational health, and spiritual health all seem to have gone out of control and out of proportion as to what we spend our time doing. Often, government is trying to sort all this out, and it's a huge issue. And it seems like we're putting sticking plasters over things that are more than just a little bit of a cut. But I don't want, it's not a political comment, this. It's just a reflection of where we are in the world. You may see things differently, but there's a lot of fixing to be done. And so our last Tuesday evening session on discipleship was, how do you live a Christian life? So in all of this, how do we live a Christian life? How do we live something that allows God to bring us hope, but also bring hope to others around us, because that's part of our responsibility. So for those of us who are, you'll have to excuse me, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat. I'll just get that. Those of us who are scholars or readers of the Bible, this should come as no surprise. It says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. So in all that I've said before, I think that scripture kind of wraps up probably the attitude of where the world is. And certainly some of those statements that are made are very easy to go, that's where we are today. That's what we're facing today. It says in there, it's in the last days. We don't know when the last days are. But this kind of behaviour is an indicator of where we are as a world. Behaviour always gives away condition. And the behaviour of our world is giving away its condition at the moment. As Christians, we live in this world, don't we? It's where we are. It's where we're born into. It's where we live. But we don't belong here. This is not our eternal resting place. We have a new place that we are going to. And Jesus always talked about the kingdom of heaven and presented an alternative kingdom in the way that he lived and demonstrated the power of God. And one of our statements of faith, if you look on the notice screen we have, it's to demonstrate something of an alternative culture and society in the way that we live. As church, we've got to give people hope that life could be different. We've got to give people hope that the world could be different and there is a future that is worth looking forward to. That's all wrapped up in the alternative kingdom that Jesus was talking about. Hebrews 1 says this, In times past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And if you read the Old Testament, that's how God spoke to the Jewish nation, through prophets and through ancestors. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And we often, as children, when we're growing up, we go to Sunday school and we listen to stories about Jesus, we always know that Jesus is the answer. No matter what the question is, Jesus is always the answer. God is speaking to us through his Son. That's how he chose to communicate to us. That's how he brought salvation. That's through whom he created the universe. And it's through Jesus that we find the answer. So what's the question? If he's the answer, what's the question? So for us individually, we know that Christ is the answer to our salvation. He gave his life that we might have something of his grace poured into our hearts, something of his love, something of his purpose. His forgiveness is all given to us through Christ Jesus. And that is the message of the gospel. And that is the answer to us individually. Anybody seeking something of truth and reality will always find it through Jesus, because he is the answer. God was speaking to a broken world 2,000 years ago. The world hasn't just become broken. If you look at history, it's always been broken. And God knew this. And Jesus has always been available and speaking to a broken world at any time in the history of the world. I love this scripture. I've never spoken on it before, because it's quite a complex one to get your head round. But it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this: "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So some translations use the word test instead of temptation. When you are tested, when you are tempted, God will always provide a way out. That sounds really good, doesn't it? There's always an answer. There is always a solution. God will always give you a way out. Part of risk assessing the building, this building, was to look at the fire safety rules. And should we ever have a fire? The rules are written on the wall there. I'm sure you've all read them on the way out. And you know exactly where we're going to meet if there's a fire. But we've got to work out, where's the best route to go? If there's a fire, how do we get out of the building? We've got to provide a way out of a situation that we're not in control of. And that's what God is promising to do, to find us, to give us a way out. As Christians, we know that we're going to face some trials. We're going to face some temptations. And Paul is reminding us that there's always a way out. He says we're never tested beyond what we can handle. Now, anybody going through that kind of thing will go, "I'm at my limit at the moment. I can't take any more." But if the word is true, then he's saying he's not going to tempt us. He's not going to test us. He's not going to allow temptation to overcome us. There is a way out, and that way out is through Jesus. Now, sometimes we don't choose to take his way out. We choose to go our own way. So if we have a fire and the exit's that way and you go that way, that's your problem. You've got to choose what God is offering. And sometimes we expect God to kind of, like Superman, sweep down and pick us up and carry us away. But he does give us a way out. We've just got to go his way and not our way. Remember that God is a gracious God, and even if we get it wrong, he still loves us. He does not reject us. One of the greatest gifts that God places in our heart is peace. To have peace with God. To know that everything between you and Him is good is an awesome experience. That's where He wants us to live, in that peace with Him. When Adam and Eve were living before they succumbed to temptation, they lived at this perfect peace with God, this perfect relationship. They had no fear in their lives whatsoever. And to have that peace in your heart, and it's one of the things that when I really began to understand salvation and allow God to work into my heart, I had this overwhelming sense that I'm okay with God. And it just poured peace into my heart. And when we have peace in our heart, it enables us to have peace with those who are around us. If you were in turmoil, if you are in frustration, if you are living in disappointment, if you're living in anger, you find it very difficult to be at peace with those around you. So if you find yourself falling out with everybody, then usually you need to look in here, in your heart, and let God's peace just do something to transform you. His love in our heart is a trump card over any fear that may want to overtake us. And in today's world, I think it's very easy to get fearful. It's so easy just to allow those thoughts to overcome us and to lose our sense of who God is and what He wants to do. And this is what it says in 1 John chapter 4. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is a place in God where His love drives out fear. We no longer fear the judgment that He has for us that is to come. We don't fear that. We don't fear living, because we know God is living in our hearts. And we don't fear what's going on in the world, because God's love is in our heart. In its wider context, the scriptures that we've read gives the world a way out. When you reach the end of your ability to deal with a test, Jesus is the way out. Trust Him, trust His love and compassion and grace, trust His wisdom and kingdom values, and you will be able to get out of the situation you face with peace. Who did God give His Son to? It says, for God so loved the world. Jesus was given to the world, not just to us in this country, not just to the Jews, but given to the world. So all that I'm talking about this morning is relevant and accessible and a gift to the world. It's their way out of this situation that we find ourselves in. We've always got access to God and always have a way out. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4 says this. And this is one of the, on Tuesday I talked about one of those scriptures that kind of catches your breath a little bit. And this is another one, Hebrews chapter 2. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirming to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. This gift of salvation was given to the world. He's saying you can't escape. There is no escaping the gift if you don't use it. It's God's way of giving us an out as the world. And I think for many, many, many generations and many countries, they don't understand that God is giving us a way out, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the way out of everything that's going on. As believers, we have to get hold of the value of the gift of salvation. This is the way out of our sinful state, and it gives us access to all that God has. If we ignore that great salvation, then God can't work in our lives. He can't do those things he wants to do. It's putting our salvation on one side and trying to live our life in our own strength. And we know that's not what God wants. We can put it down for many reasons. I would encourage you to pick it up this morning, dust it down, and value it. Don't be in that situation where that question is, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Well, the world needs to see the salvation of God. It needs to see the evidence that there is a way out of troubles, an alternative kingdom. How can we escape the brokenness of the world if the world keeps on neglecting the salvation that God has given to us? This is where we come in. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is what we were commissioned to do, to go into the world and make disciples, to demonstrate the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God in the way that we live. And it is a demonstration of who God is and his reality living in us. But we've got to be living in that place to demonstrate who God is. That way, we demonstrate to those around us the reality of the love of God. We don't want to neglect our salvation. We want it to live in us. We want it to transform us. And we want it to infect those around us by the way that we live. Everywhere we go, we carry this message with us. And it is an amazing message of grace, hope, love, and forgiveness. And everywhere you go, that is the message you're carrying it. So don't neglect it. Because it's not just about you, but about everybody who you come into contact with. I just encourage you this morning to just reassess what God is doing in your life. Allow him to kind of pour his love in there. Pour his love into your heart and fear will be dispelled. Pour his love into your heart and hope will arise. Pour his love into your heart and you'll begin to love those around you. And when we do that, we are carrying a great message and we are passing it on. So I'd encourage you to pass on this love that God has given to us. It's the world's way out, but they've got to see the way. Just as there's a sign on the wall over there telling you which way to go if there's a fire, we should have one on our hearts, on our lives, going, follow me if you want to find the way out of this situation. So this week, pass it on. Well, thank you for listening to me. I'm going to hand back to Jed now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I'm not having your drink, no. Interestingly enough, one of the things Mark mentioned was about the advance in technology. I've just started experimenting recently with my phone. It's got a sleep mode on it. I've set in it now for, I go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6 is the plan. 8 hours sleep, but probably don't get that. I wake up too early. So this morning I was up early picking out songs because I knew Ray wasn't here. And I picked out a song that we haven't used yet, and I thought, when I've looked at it, I thought, I'm not sure that's that easy to sing along to. So what I think we'll do is I'll let the song play while we take our offering, and you can look at the words, because I love the words of the song. I've said before, I'm very word-based in the way God speaks to me and uses me. I'm into words, so I like words, and the words, the lyrics of this song, I think are very good, but I think it might be one of those that's quite difficult to sing along to. That's my estimation. So if you want to play that song and we'll take our offering, I don't know who's going to do that.